This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This is a song that isn't really finished, you know, it needs another verse to it still, but it's got a little bit of it there, and when I go home late at night, this is a song that I really like to sing right now, so I'll play it for you. It's called My Old Man.
For the 1-2, gets it back from Davis. Goalkeeper was out quickly. Davis with a strike off the underside of the crossbar. Birmingham survive. Villa inches away from taking the lead in this game.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, the editor of myoldmansaid.com. Joining me, Mr. Rogers of the villaunderground.com. Welcome.
Hello, hello, on this fine derby evening.
So how was your preparation for the derby? Were you up at six drinking Carlsberg or Carling?
No, I was up at six changing an 18-month bottom. Fantastic. The peak of living.
I went to a concert at the Birmingham Academy, Black Rebel Motorcycle Club.
Ah.
Only because my friend is engaged to the singer.
Well,
the younger of the two singers. So I got guesties, but I got back about midnight, and then I was up until five getting the last podcast out.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Because there's a few days, I think we recorded it later in the week. And
I felt,
because I didn't want to go to the game. I didn't want to be penned in after the game. I mean, I've met the police, so I know all the arrangements, and doesn't sound like my idea of a fun afternoon. And to be honest with you, I can't stand 12 o'clock games because I'm a night person.
I mean, my experience of the Blues has been, I went on the Encombe night, and that was interesting in the ground and terrifying outside the ground. But also the 12 o'clockers since it was a mixed bag, because there were some pretty poor dour games in there for the Villa, but also the hemming in for hours on end afterwards is not.
And that's, I mean, the night ones I don't mind, but it's just that, I mean, 12. I actually I fell asleep at 8 o'clock in the morning or 8:30 or something.
Just about made
and
the game.
I was like, have I got enough energy to put my alarm on to wake me up in time for this 12 o'clock? And I didn't. I just crashed out. And then I woke up, looked at my watch and my arm, and it was 12:45. And I thought, oh, how can I do my ultimate player ratings now?
They're not as good as mine.
but luckily, I haven't got a digital watch. So it's an old school watch. So I hadn't put in the extra hour.
You're
so
analog.
I was good.
Your life is completely analog. Yeah,
I was analog, and I had a nice little, it was like actually 10 to 12, so it's perfect timing.
So you time travelled, really?
My body clock is switched to Villa games.
Welcome to Jedinak's Jungle.
G'day, Villa fans. I'm back. You join me on the wild plains of St. Andrews, but there's nothing saintly about this fortress of turds. The stench Crikey, it's overwhelming. It's an eye-watering combination of unwashed carcasses and consensual inbreeding. The local savages have fashioned primitive weapons, claret and blue daubed clappers. So far, we've resisted a barrage of missiles, but I couldn't save my apprentice, Glenn Whelan. His reputation is in the gutter after falling down and bleeding in public. I'm one of the lucky escapees. 2,100 brave souls were left trapped in the sty. Pray for them and to the God of Beards, will ya?
Let's go into the three things that we notice, and actually they're all related to the game. First point, number one, clappers.
Oh, what a bad idea. Bad idea.
Yeah, but it's, you know, lots of people are saying now, Blues fans were putting pictures of those clappers out on social media days ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I spotted it. And I wrote an article of Venglos Few taking the mickey. It's basic, but, you know, it's satire, but it's basically sending a message. And the message was, this is a ridiculous idea. They're just going to be thrown at players and fans.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Blues fans would make cardboard aeroplanes out of them and throw them at the Villa end because, they carry...
Oh, they were perfect projectiles.
But I kind of overestimated. I overestimated their ability to build paper aeroplanes. So they just saw it as a club and just threw it without even taking the elastic band off.
I wish I'd been in the room when they were working through the idea of it being a good idea, and that sort of self. I don't even know what the self validation of I've got a great idea for the Villa game. We're going to get some things that they can throw on the pitch and. Probably get us a fine. And no, Sebastian, we need to make them claret and blue. Claret and blue. Yeah. That's a really good idea too. It's just like,
I saw Leicester do it once and very, very successful. They won the league title, don't you know, against all the odds. And then he goes back, or she goes back to their respective partner at night. Honey, I certainly earned my money today with this great idea of bringing clappers into St. Andrews. It'll really liven up the atmosphere for Sky TV cameras. They're bringing in their flamethrowers at the start of the game. It's going to be a big TV success. But this is it's the same argument. It's like modern day football. The people now working behind the scenes. It's the same people who thought it was a good idea to speak on behalf of the club and say, here are the top five signings Aston Villa have made, and put it on Twitter.
Cringe.
Which I'm sure Steve Bruce is going to be very pleased about that. I'm sure the Villa players are going to be pleased that they're graded by their own club in the public domain.
Mm.
It's people who really don't understand the essence and... It's hard to explain, isn't it? Because it's just common sense of what football is.
It's common sense to football fans, and I think that's the thing that when they thought, let's put 20,000 clappers in the stadium, not only are clappers, if they're used properly annoying, it's up there with the vuvuzela, isn't it?
Yeah. But
actually, you've armed 20,000 people with something.
Like, and let's say in the top five of most savage fans in English football.
Savage.
I mean, I'll give them that one. I'll give them that rep. But... Yeah, that's what I couldn't believe. I was actually thinking, if I write this story, and this is like midweek, I was like, if I write this story, some person's going to see it and go, oh my God, he's got a point.
Mm.
And then they'll claim the glory with this great decision. So I thought, well, let this one ride. And I'll release the story on the day, you know, in the morning before the game. Just so I can say, eh, see, told you so, you fucking idiot. But as you say, it's like you are arming the fans. What's going to happen? Well, of course they're going to be thrown at players. It's what happens when a fan goes on the pitch? He gets a 3-year or lifetime ban.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when a marketing executive makes a dumb decision where players are getting bombarded by missiles?
I do think that'll be a difficult meeting on Monday for him.
it hits them in the eye. I mean, I'm going to blow this one up and say, you know, fan goes on the pitch, lifetime ban. I mean, whoever came up with that idea should be sacked. Full stop. I mean, I went to these police meeting, you know, how to make things safe for Villa supporters, how to get to the ground and back to the ground and, you know, yada, 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 which we'll talk about in a second. But, you know, and then the most glaringly obvious mistake rears its head and you just think, you know, why do we bother, people? Why do we bother? Number two. I saw pictures of the B6 project, and, you know, these guys, for my taste, a little bit sanitized, because you could argue that the club, they're just saving the club money, because the club, you know, sometimes other clubs put on things like flags and whatever. But regardless, at least it's people having a go, and you know, some of the flags are pretty good. And so I saw pictures on social media of B6 Project flags, people with them, and I thought, oh, you know, that's cool. Like, some people who have gone on coaches, they've been given out these free flags, free scarves. And I thought, oh, that's, you know, that's good. I mean, they're not a group as such, but at least it's kind of getting the word out, and, you know, that can only help to build to something, you know, bigger and better. And then I see Unibet. It's a half and half scarf with Unibet on the other side.
In green.
So... you start to think...
It's a classic example of something, a good idea executed.
Those fans have been taken advantage of. Mm. They've just been taken advantage of there by somebody just promoting their wares. Promoting their wares. And it's like, as it goes back to the same thing as people in this modern day football don't really give a fuck about the supporters. I mean, they just blatantly use those supporters who thought, oh, at least we're getting the word out here. That's, you know, kind of innocently thinking, at least it'll boost the profile of B6 projects. But really, they've just been taken advantage of by Unibet making out they're down with the fans.
Take the view, as you were saying at the beginning, that they've got their own thing running and it, you know, maybe livens things up a bit. It's a bit different. And a faceless corporate entity has hijacked it.
Yeah.
In this instance. And I say that I'm going to park the bit about B6 because I think that their intentions are probably great. What I just thought was, especially with the one that when the scarves are being held up, that everyone behind them would only see a Unibet logo. And I just think that if Unibet had any, these corporate companies had any sense of, you know, social good, they would drop the fucking branding off it. Just give them 1,000 scarves. That's, you know, given, no one's issues with B6. It's the fact that it's not goodwill. It's not goodwill at all. Promo.
It's like you bastard. Shysters. You know, if as a company, your ego is so big that it has to be there and you can't do it as a goodwill gesture and, you know, take some plaudits on social media or whatever, you could have, like, just have the label Unibet or something. You know, the little label.
Or just say, you know, sponsored by. On like, whatever promo. I just felt,
You know, people talk about the half and half scarves. I mean, the half and half scarves, at least it's about the two teams that are playing a particular game. So the scarf is, in one respect, it's celebrating that game. So it is a kind of valid souvenir. But this is just supporters walking around essentially as advertising.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad. And I mean, hopefully they won't let that happen again. I mean, Unibet have been paying most of the social media accounts to basically push out their wares on social media.
Yep.
They wanted to do some stuff with me, but I never agreed to anything just because, I mean, everybody needs sponsors and things like that to exist. But, I mean, I'd rather scrimp, as I have been doing, than kind of sell out in any way.
Yeah, yeah.
So become a patron and help support the principled. Go to myoldmansaid.com and click on patron. Because, I mean, I say these things, but it is essential to have support. Because then you can tell people to fuck off when they come to you with these kind of seedy intentions and they want to be down with the supporters when they don't give a fuck. You know, they're wearing their tight blue chinos and their brown brogues walking around pretending they're in Mad Men. I mean, it's all bullshit. So
I take a real low-level view of all this stuff.
This is the real deal. This is principled fucking football supporting. So get behind it, people.
It is. It's proper football support. And the other thing about it is that, I speak for myself here, is that I can post anything I want to my website because I don't have to worry that it doesn't fit with the agenda of a betting company or otherwise. Whether that does me any favours, I don't know. But it is independent.
And people... who are keen listeners of this podcast and regular listeners, you may have, I mean, sometimes we throw in joke sketches and sometimes we, you know, throw in joke ads like we did in the last, apologies for getting that last episode out a little late, but you know, we did Gabby Power and took the piss out of Paddy Power. I'm not expecting them to give me any sponsorship anytime soon.
Why would you want it? Yeah, it's not worth it.
You know, and also we knew this Unibet was coming and how they were operating. And, you know, we did the Negatron sketch about Samba Rhymes with Mamba, Unibet Dildos, was a riff on how they would get into, you know, promote football in any which way to be, you know, down with it.
And lo and behold,
the half and half Unibet scarf appeared. Right, anyway, on to the third issue of the Blues game.
Big issue.
Well, big issue, and I alluded to earlier on having these meetings with the West Midlands Police where they got together 10, 12 various different fans, Villa fans from different groups, disabled group, different Lions groups, myself, people who do travel, away travel, And we bashed it out, discussed what happened last year in the Villa Blues games, and you know where there was room for improvement, and obviously put it out on our various channels. If anybody else had any questions to take to this meeting, you bring all viewpoints and questions to the table. And so you know the main things were the holdback, the police escort. The holdback last year wasn't, I think was it 40 minutes, wasn't very well communicated. Actually on ground level when it happened, there was nothing on the tannoys or anything like that. So you know the police took this on board, and they said, ideally, we're looking not to have a holdback. A couple of days before the game, suddenly Network Rail get in touch with the club and say, oh, yeah, we've got engineering works. So there's going to be no trains. No trains, is it Duddleston? No trains before 1:30. And suddenly that kind of threw the police a curveball, so they had to start to make other plans. And what they basically did was revert to last season's plans. But still, you're thinking 40 minutes, they're going to shave, what, like 10 minutes of that? Oh, no. I mean, I haven't actually spoken to somebody face-to-face who went to see if it really was 90 minutes, but that seems to be what everybody's saying on social media. They were held back for another 90 minutes. I mean, if watching the game wasn't bad enough, you've kind of got to go through the motions. Or, you know, when nil-nil, you're thinking, oh, at least I can get out of here.
Yeah.
No.
You could have left at 85 minutes and got out the ground, and then the doors swing shut and you're stuck. I've been there. Yeah.
And the police reason was there was, what, 250 Blues fans hanging around waiting for people?
Supposedly. And it's the logistics of St Andrews, isn't it? For anyone who knows, is that you crawl up the hill and then you turn left into the paddock of the away end. And coming out, I mean, they've tried different things over the years. I mean, I remember the night game where they tried to filter people out. I can remember the, you know, another time where they put police down the middle of the road all the way down, and then it sort of ended at the island at the bottom. It became a free-for-all. So it's a perfect storm, yeah. I suppose. Anyway, they do it.
I'm just looking at the police, the Aston Villa West Midland Police Division Twitter account as we speak, and they've just posted, they posted earlier on, an example of some of the items thrown at police
yes,
officers.
I did see.
I think they're trying to get more attention away from these clappers.
Yes. Yeah, I did look, I had to Google what it was.
What are they? What are they?
They are the you're looking, I'm assuming, at the hooped things that look
like... Yeah, like the brass, is like something from Peaky Blinders or something?
They are, well, funnily you should say that they are things that hold scaffolding together, you know, as you... If it's the photo you're looking at, they're quite rusted metal.
Yeah, they look like brass, don't they?
They're no longer used, I don't think, anymore, so they're quite... Someone's clearly gone into the workshop and gone, right, what really won't I need to use on Monday? And they've picked up, I mean, pretty hefty gear, isn't it? Because it's a big kit. Yeah.
I mean, anybody out there, we're describing these, there's a ruler next to them, and they're pretty big.
They are big.
They're about 4 or 5 inches long each, a solid kind of brass metal. Right, let's get into the game,
The game.
This is what we were kind of predicting when we spoke on the show about this game. You were kind of hoping Villa would score an early goal, it would open it up, open the Blues up, and pray to the god of goals, there would be a few. But the real reality is, and it's hard to do a podcast previewing a game that you know is going to be pretty dire. But to be honest, yeah, I thought it was a better contest than both of those games last season.
I agree, and though I thought people saying, the first half was dire, I'll take what the BBC described it as, tense. It was a tense game where two teams who...
Yeah.
Partly what we predicted, really, that Cottrell's clearly set the Blues up to not concede as many goals, because they were shipping goals, they were tight. It took them some time to get Jota fit and ready, and I was terrified from the second he picked up the ball.
Jota.
Oh, God, this is going to be like Brentford.
He looked good. I mean, and he suddenly, instantly gave Blues a threat going forwards, and they looked... Yeah. Kind of like a live wire team. I mean, they set up exactly how we predicted they would, as they did against Cardiff, with those two deeper midfielders, and then three with Hutter started on the right hand side, didn't he? Because I think they just thought, go for Hutton, just go for him. And to be honest, Hutton, I thought, did a pretty good show.
My view on Hutton over the game. Well, the way that Jota plays is he does a little bit hotter. Are we going with Hutter?
Hotter. Yeah, it's like a. J's are like H's.
Hotter. The way with hotter is that he cuts inside, doesn't he? So you think...
It's like Snodgrass, but with better hair.
he troubled Hutton, and I think they clearly said, well, if we're going to have any luck, it'll probably be there, and he cut in nicely. But he did give them a focal point immediately, didn't he? And it got the crowd going a little bit.
Yeah.
With that said, I just thought the first half was quite entrenched play, wasn't it? I think neither of the midfields really got on top. And
going back to Hutter, is he's cutting in on Hutton's preferable foot.
Correct foot, yeah.
So it kind of worked to Hutton's advantage the way he was playing there. I think that's why he pretty much had him in his pocket for most of the game. I mean, he looked good when he had the ball in the middle of the park and he was running at Villa, but not in the danger area. But when he was in any let's say zone of any intent, Hutton was normally kind of sorted it out. Another thing that Hutton sorted out pretty well was there was that big tussle between Vassell and Terry, especially the first 20 minutes, half an hour. I thought Terry was personally my man of the match, and Terry dealt with Vassell very well. But you're thinking big lump up front, younger. Is he going to wear Terry down? But I think Terry made some captain decisions, whispered in Hutton's ear, and Hutton took out Vassell, and that was the end of him for the rest of the game.
Hutton was an extra set. Just my theory, anyway.
Just my theory.
Yeah, he got creamed, didn't he, in the first opportunity by Hutton, and he gave it the "I'm all right" hobbling around job before having to lie down crying. He got Huttoned.
Hutton kind of earned back some of the wages we had to pay him when he was in the bomb squad with that one, I thought.
Hutton's a funny one because people will be saying now, well, he's played well over the last few games. Does he keep Neil Taylor out of the team now? And my views on Hutton, I think he tries very hard. I do think he's got a mistake in him and an overall quality for me.
I'm not doing any revision on Hutton. I mean, he's a backup player now and he's doing a good job while Taylor's out. And
I think that's the way to pitch it, isn't it? It's nothing personal. I just think that Taylor's a better player, overall player. Better the game.
In terms of the chance, best chances, I mean, Villa almost self-destructed twice.
Oh, we almost went full Enkelman, didn't we?
Yep, Sam Johnson, instead of kicking it out of his hands, he decided to roll it out. But Blues, the furthest man forward, actually was kind of wise to that. Yeah, chased it down. Johnson launched it straight into him and it rebounded past him and was it about a metre wide?
Do you know, the last place I expected that to end up was wide. I don't know about you.
Yeah, it was actually closer, a bit too close for comfort there. I mean, it wasn't that much made about it, really, apart from...
Well, no, I think Johnson had a good game otherwise. I mean, he pulled off a couple of smart saves low to, I think it was Davis and Hotter. But he also pulled off a couple of good headed saves from...
I mean, I'm not going to dwell on it. Everybody has I think you'll learn from that one, but he was, this is this is one of the games where, as a Villa keeper, you're going to be under the most pressure. So he did well. He did well to get through it. So that should be the positivity that we kind of angle there for. Horahan again. It's just one blip. Horahan fell asleep and passed it straight to Hotter and all the gear. No idea in that finish. It's all right having a headband and flowing locks and. Yeah, maybe Pep Guardiola was right. Pep Guardiola was right.
If they'd have been playing with one of the Mitre Star Wars balls, it would never have happened. It would never have happened. But as they were playing with one of these unplayable balls that he keeps talking about.
Yeah.
it was a terrifying moment, though, because, again, as Villa fans, you almost resign yourself to, it's 1-0, don't you? That's just been the norm for so many years. I was thinking, maybe we can score two before it has even hit the top of the tilting.
But I think it was one of those where Blues haven't taken two gilt-edged chances here. We might do a smash and grab on this one. And I think we should have, because late on, after a couple of switches, the first substitute that happened, was it Jedinak on for... When Jedinak came on for Snodgrass, I thought, Bruce is playing for a nil-nil here if he's taking Snodgrass off. And obviously putting Jedinak at the back. I mean, statistically, Jedinak won more headers by twice of his teammates, and he was only playing So that just shows you the impact.
I thought the changes were really astute. I don't think they were logical at the time, but as they all came to play, it swung the game back in our favour. He put Jedinak on, and he basically man-marked Ndoye, marked him out the game, and the way that we can use Jedinak is he anchors into the basically an extra centre half, isn't he? There's no two. We've just become.
But I think when Davis came on for Hourihan, that Jedinak wasn't that deep, or Whelan came forward a bit more to compensate, and that's when the substitutes kind of made sense, and it kind of changed off our shape a little bit more.
Yes.
And I rate Davis. I mean, Codger, if he's injured for 3 months, I'm happy with Davis, to be honest.
It's a funny chat that more and more people seem to be having, isn't it? That I've had this chat with a couple of people today that you wouldn't have foreseen it even a few weeks ago, I don't think. But now people are, I think it's about, do I want to say attitude as well? Is it all about form? Davis seems really switched on, and actually has... Seems like the type of player that you might want to get you out of the division as well. That Codger,
every time he plays, he's always you'd look at him and you just think, well, I think he's better than I could even have hoped for.
Yeah. And that is a pleasant.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years, like a chatbot maybe your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Because the other thing to reflect upon is that Hogan hasn't looked anything like that type of player, has he?
No, he's not looking... When he comes on, you're not expecting anything now. This is the second time, I think he came on against Wolves for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Four touches of the ball. That's all he's offering up.
I mean, I don't want to detract from the positivity of Davis, because I do think that is a major plus in this season. But I do think it's alarming how we've got let's use the lower estimate, a £12 million striker who was sticking goals away.
Actually lower than that. I think it's maybe
a bit lower than that. I mean, it's a £10 million.
9-10 with, you know, bonuses.
With the 12, rising to 12. With some estimates as high as 15, depending on which...
Carry on.
Bait site you read. But
some people say 20.
Some depends what currency. the point I'm making is that it's just alarming to me that because Bruce will have bought him to be firing those goals, and we've seen sniffs of him being able to do it. You know, a couple of good headers, that fine swiveling finish against Wigan that was a superb goal, and then long periods where yes, he hasn't had a massive sniff, but he looks bereft of confidence. And if you're looking in on him now, you wouldn't be anywhere near him to buy him, would you? In my head, because you'd be saying, what does this guy bring? And that's so frustrating. Clearly, he has got something.
Well, by the time you listen to the show, you'll probably know the extent of Codger's injury. And I mean, who knows? But you know, we're not going to scaremonger here. But there may be an opportunity for Hogan and potentially the Davis Hogan partnership to see the light of day more than it has done so far this season. So that would be his chance to redeem himself and put himself forward as a proper member of the squad.
Negatron alert! Whelan's face destroyed! Perfect for Halloween! Looks like Frankenstein! Looks like Frankenstein!
Just moving on, I noticed I was listening back to the Lost Wolves podcast that never went out, which I'll try to get out for the patrons as a bonus. In that one, you were, in summation, saying I don't see the point of Whelan. In the last podcast, covering his performance against Fulham, you were Team Whelan. So he's a polarising player, but he even polarises
me. And I'm generally quite... Like with Hogan, I'll use Hogan as a very brief example of someone I'm willing to give people a lot of time. But what I've seen with Whelan is games already where I was really worried in, I think it was the Fulham game and the Wolves game, where I thought, if his leg's gone,
Wolves, you said they've gone.
I was really concerned that his legs had gone. And even against Fulham, he got overrun on a number of occasions. And it happened early on against the Blues. But I'm guilty of this as most people, is that you can start to think of a player as you're almost looking for the fault, aren't you? Going, just Whelan. And that's not true. It's not true. And least of all against the Blues, because there were a couple of things, or more than a couple of things that happened to evidence that, is that one, he left nothing on the pitch. He physically took a battering and obviously got a nasty gash below the eye and covered in blood. I'm sure people have seen the photos and saw it live. The other thing was that he was awarded the man of the match by Sky or by the OptiStats people, because the stats for his game were just, they were great. The amount of interceptions, blocks, the unfashionable dirty work, he did it really well over 90 minutes.
Although his stats are normally pretty good. He's somebody
passing as well.
When you look through the lens of social media, like a player can do 10 okay things and won't even get a mention. Does one mess up, like gives away that free kick that led to the Fulham goal, it's all over social media.
Yeah.
He's an arsehole, get him out, blah, blah, blah. If there's any player I watch the most closely, it is Whelan. Because, like yourself, I'm thinking, am I guilty of just not looking deep enough to what he's actually doing here? Because many players that go underappreciated. Always look back to Kevin Richardson. I mean, he was the goddamn captain of a successful Villa team. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you thought, if you're just watching the game casually, you're thinking, well, you know, actually, what Richardson do? Because he's doing the things that, they're not going to make the highlights real.
And that's a really good point, actually, because I was looking at my ratings for the game and getting that up, and it suddenly dawned on me that Onoma had a god-awful game of football, really. Yeah, very anonymous.
I forgot he was playing, and I thought,
exactly.
I mean, we spoke on the last, in the preview of the game, that he's the potential key to this game.
Well, he's a very young player, and in my review of the game, I would say, look, young players do have games where the game passes them by, or, you know, for whatever reason. But I thought that in the context of how we're talking about how polarised Whelan is and how he's become almost the new Bakuna for some people, that in this quest for a scapegoat almost, that actually you don't necessarily see reality in front of you, because Onoma had probably perhaps his worst game in a Villa shirt, and I've certainly been one of his biggest advocates and see him as one of,
that's what I said on my ratings. Have you been copying my ratings?
Copy paste.
Busted.
Is that really what you said on it?
Exactly.
Great minds.
Anyway, continue. I'll just send a text to my lawyer. Hold on a minute.
I need to check what time they were posted. So anyway, my point was, I mean, I still see Onoma becoming a good player for Spurs, and you never know what beyond it. But in terms of the Whelan debate, that I've almost had to check myself over the last couple of games, because you see this lurching barometer of, oh, he's no good, he's shit, and actually he's actually quite good. And when you think back, you know, I watch quite a lot of international footballers, you know, he's similarly felt for the Irish national team, that I think people perhaps go, what does he bring?
Would you compare him to how people see Steve Bruce as a manager in that respect?
Possibly, that's a good point. That effective I can see why you've made that point, actually. Yeah.
There's one to ponder, people.
You've got me there, because it's actually quite true, isn't it?
True.
End the podcast. We're done, man. We've gone deep.
Actually, we've done the season, I think, on that note. But right, we'll see you next season.
For the promotions reason. But we have seen that with Bruce, though, haven't we? That he's on a, you know, we've lost, what, 1 in 10 or something ridiculous? Is that it?
Yeah.
And, you see some of the stuff on Twitter, and I wonder sometimes, is it just people just firing off bonkers stuff after a few beers or whatever?
There's kind of a sheep mentality. People want people to agree with them. I mean, we're not going to go into the psychoanalysis of Twitter. We'll save that for the next show. But yeah, sometimes you have to look at things a bit more soberly and actually take yourself out of yourself and just say what actually is happening here in the cold light of day. Moving on, as I said at the top, I thought the Blues were actually much better than I expected. I expected them to be a bit more, the game would go to the pattern of, we'd have a bit more possession, and they would, attack only occasionally on the counter, but ultimately it was kind of a well-balanced game in chances and whatever. But you know, I thought Hotter provided that spark, and Mark Roberts for them, their centre-back. Did you see how fast he was?
He was very, very pacey.
He was blazing from one end of the pitch to the other to break up Villa attacks. I was quite astounded by his speedstering.
I think the thing I took from the game was, and it's classic Villa, isn't it, as well, that in the lead-up to the derby that they were, before, you know, Cottrell was appointed even, they were rocking badly, weren't they, Blues, and on a trajectory to nowhere, really. And they've had a few weeks to stabilise. And to be fair to Cottrell, you can see with the formation that he's adopted. And I mean, we were joking in the last podcast about the amount of players that they've used. You know, he's trying to home in on an 11 there. And obviously with Hotter coming in, their biggest spend, wasn't he, in the transfer window?
Yeah.
There is method to the madness, really. I don't think necessarily Blues are a good team, but I think they're not nearly as bad as I think what I expected to see. And that kind of echoes, I suppose, what you were saying.
Obviously, we saw enough of them to suggest I think they'll be a decent team at home. I mean, they beat Cardiff and Sheffield Wednesday 1-0, and they deserve
beat,
those wins. And I think they'll do all right at St Andrews. And I think
I'd be surprised here.
Another team. Who were you slagging Preston off earlier on in this? Oh no, it was Cardiff that you know.
Give it time.
Preston actually started off very good, and they had a difficult. Sorry, this is the next game. I mean, we're crossing our fingers we can get it out in time for the Preston game.
Yeah, we've got previous.
Preston started off the season very well, and they had a tough fixture list, and they had to play some of the, say, the tougher teams that you would expect to do well, and they coped with them very well. And kind of hit a bit of a sticky patch at the moment, but Alex Neil is still talking about promotion. But I think they were doing better away from home. I mean, that recently their home form stuttered, and what I'm alluding to is this is an easier game than the Blues game in terms of being in an away trip.
Ooh.
I mean, recently...
I do agree with that, yeah.
They recently got beat at home by Brentford 3-2 and drew with Sunderland and also drew with Millwall and Sunderland at bottom three. Mm. So these are the last three games. I mean, it's been, it's almost approaching, it's like 6 weeks since they last won at home when they beat Cardiff. But so I think they're there for the, they are there for the taking. So, they're not in the playoffs anymore. So this is a team that are kind of starting to slip, and they're going to have to pull out a big result if they want to pretend that they can stay in with the playoff places, or if they're just going to have a kind of middling mid-table season.
Yeah, I think Preston away is, without wanting to sound patronising to the opposition, is that not the kind of...
Well, they beat us last year.
They did, and that's why what I'm about to say will hopefully resonate a bit more, I guess, is that aren't these the kind of games that we should be circling, that if we're going to be promoted, that these are the games that we win away from home in a promotion season? I think that they are. And that's not supposed to be with any disrespect to Preston. I think that we've got to be going, probably like other teams will probably look at Blues, really. I think the Derby situation throws a bit of a tombola result for that game. But you look at Preston, and I think we've really got to be going there looking to win. We've really...
Well, as I said, their last three home games have been teams that are fannying around at the bottom of the table, and they've picked up 2 points out of nine. So, Villa shouldn't be in a donating mood at the moment. I don't know what Codger's situation is, but I think Davis will be spearheading the attack there. It'd be interesting if a Nomar gets selected after the Blues should go missing.
See, I think we're in a much better shape than when we went there last season. We all know the outcome of the defeat there. The thing about where we're at now, and we're in six, we're in good shape. What we don't want to be doing is sort of flirting around the edge of the playoffs. I think we need to start to be chipping away at giving teams up above us something to think about, and also starting to make teams below us get them on the chase. Don't be giving them a situation where if we win 1 week and they, we lose 1 week and they win and they can go above us. Let's start getting a bit of a run together, winning run, and winning away from home to really put the away hoodoo to bed.
I mean, I think somebody mentioned to me on Twitter that, after Wolves beat us, and they beat us well, a lot of Villa fans thought, well, that's the league is theirs, so there's only second place to battle for now. But as somebody termed them on Twitter to me, they're not the Terminator that everybody thinks they are, because they got beat by QPR away. And, last week they played Preston. They were 3-0 up, and Preston managed to peg them back to 3-2. They lost. Preston got a man sent off in injury time, so, who knows, they might have pulled that one out of the fire. But they're not. Yeah, they're not the Terminators just yet. So if Villa just got to find their way, their style, and I think we mentioned the word swagger last time. They're not entering games with that confidence that hey, we're going to wipe you away.
No, and I mean I've got two things to say about the top of the league. Really, I mean one of my close neighbours is a big Wolves fan, and their view was that they're far from the complete article and expects Wolves to.
Where do you live?
Well, Mordor.
carry on, sorry.
I knew. Wash their trotters when they enter the house next. The thing about Wolves is what I'm hearing is that they've got a good group of players, but they need more, and they expect to be looking in the transfer market in January. That if they're up there, they think that their owners will bankroll a big push. Really, the other thing that catches my eye in the league at the moment is obviously Sheffield United are getting good press, and they're doing well at, you know, obviously top, but they've lost almost, was it four of their 14 games they've lost? That's almost a third. And I think the point I'm making is that
means nothing if you're top clean and you're top.
Yeah, yeah. But the point is, I think last season that there was a clear couple of teams, wasn't there, who you thought, right, they're gonna run with this, and it's one or either that are gonna finish 1-2, and then the rest of you can muck it out for the playoff spots.
Yeah.
Don't we need to be the team that's gonna be asking that question? And kind of what I'm saying about the Preston game, go there and win, and it makes a statement to other teams. I think that around that, you're right, you're actually on some trajectory upwards here. And I think if we got up there, I just wonder if we got up there, David, I think we could have a good run at it.
Yeah, but at the moment there's still a lot of riders in the race, and it's time.
We're jockeying.
And there's going to be, I mean, over the obviously the winter period where the games come fast and furious, that's when I think the real deals will start to emerge. And there's a potential, because there's so many games, if you can string them together, then you can start to shoot away. So on that note, let's shoot away ourselves.
Indeed.
And maybe we will have another episode this week, après le Preston. Anything else you want to say before we go away?
To be sure. Cut that out.
What's he talking about? Listen to the last episode. And on that note, it's goodbye from me and it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye.
My old man said...
Negatron alert!
Whelan's face destroyed! Perfect for Halloween! Looks like Frankenstein! Looks like Frankenstein!
I don't need to put the effects on anymore.
I tell you what. It's a good job I bought a detached house.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.